The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Wright, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Wright, a very good morning to you. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Shavua Tov, Tu Bishvat Sameach. Good morning. How are you guys doing, Howard?
Anthony, it is Tu Bishvat. How seriously does Israel take Tu Bishvat?
Well, apparently Tu Bishvat comes with a Seder. And when you talk about Seder, it kind of feels like Pesach, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed.
But this is a very fruity Seder. So with all the various species that go with Tu Bishvat. So I don't know that Israel takes Tu Bishvat very seriously, but certainly we were talking about analyzing the market and you know, getting to know your consumers and things like that. Well, when you go out into the supermarkets, of course, they're all taking advantage of Tu Bishvat to put out the various species of fruits and nuts and things like that that normally go with Tu Bishvat. So they're certainly taking advantage of it from a commercial point of view. I don't know how many people really partake of the Tu Bishvat Seder as well. As such, obviously, it's a working day in Israel and people have got to get on with their lives. But certainly, it's hard to miss Tu Bishvat, whereas I suspect that if you went about your business in Joburg or New York or London or Paris or any other city where there are a lot of Jews, it might be a lot easier to miss the fact that it's Tu Bishvat today.
Absolutely right. I think men of the Jewish day schools do celebrate and raise awareness, as we are trying to do here. But let's talk about some very serious issues. The IDF returned overnight to attack Iranian targets in Syria. This follows a day yesterday when Iron Dome was forced to intercept a missile fired to Israel from Syria in response to an earlier IDF attack. All right, we've definitely seen in some form of escalation. We've seen an openness, I think, with regard to the attacks. But does this attack represent a change in the conflict with Iran and Syria?
Well, I think there's a lot of analysis going on about how things are now suddenly different in terms of how we're responding to Syria. And we saw that difference already beginning as our ex-Chief of General Staff, Gadi Eisenkot, vacated his office and handed over to new Chief of General Staff, Aviv Kochavi, who's taken over now. And people are saying that this is the new broom sweeping through the IDF, that Aviv Kochavi has a different way of dealing with things, and that he, having formerly been in charge of the Northern Division, knows the border area around Syria and Lebanon very well, the Golan Heights. He's very familiar with all that kind of stuff, and that he's taking a slightly different approach. And we certainly saw that yesterday when the IDF attacked Syria in broad daylight. This was the very first time that this has happened, at least, in recent times, that the IDF has generally taken the attitude of using darkness in order to attack Iranian targets in the most part that are in Syria. And we certainly saw that last night again. But yesterday there was this strange kind of an attack that took place. And we understand that it was directed against a plane or maybe even two planes that had been flown from Iran and that were heading towards Damascus. And there were reports that, in fact, the IDF fire was directed towards those planes. And I think it would have been interesting for us to talk about if, in fact, the IDF had attacked two planes from the air that were not necessarily purely military planes, but obviously those planes seem to have been carrying some sensitive cargo. And interestingly, the Iranians got wind of the fact that this attack was taking place just as those planes were due to approach towards Damascus Airport, and those planes were turned around and returned back to Iran, as far as I understand, back to Tehran. So it's not quite clear what's happened to the cargo that was clearly being targeted on those planes, but there was some shenanigans that certainly were going on yesterday while everybody was going about their daily business, not even realizing that all of this was happening. And then what we saw was a surface-to-surface missile, ground-to-ground missile being fired from Syria It went over the Golan Heights, and in fact, there are some pictures that show the Golan Heights ski field full of skiers yesterday, because there's a lot of snow, as we know, on the Hermon, showing the Hermon ski field with Iron Dome interceptions taking place right overhead. And so the Iron Dome, apparently two Iron Dome missiles were fired in order to intercept the ground-to-ground missile that was launched from Syria yesterday towards Israel. Apparently, it was very much targeting some location in Israel, a particular location in Israel. It's not reported what that location was, but clearly Iron Dome was brought into action. So that was an indication that this missile wasn't simply going to fall without harming anything or anybody harmlessly in some open area, but this was really going to do some damage, and hence the Iron Dome was deployed, fortunately, yesterday for those people out skiing, and of course for others who might have been in the area where that particular missile was going to land. But then, of course, last night we saw the IDF back in action again, destroying Iranian targets in Syria, numerous Iranian targets, not just one or two, but there were numerous Iranian targets, and there's a whole list of them that was reported in one of the newspapers, you know, the different places that were attacked around the Damascus area, mostly around the Damascus area in Syria, and there were munition storage sites, and there was an Iranian intelligence site and an Iranian military training camp, apparently, all of which were attacked last night by Israeli Air Force planes. As far as we understand, they all returned safely, even though Syria has said, along with the support of Russia, that the game is changing in Syria and that Israel is not going to be allowed just freely to reign in the skies and to do as they please, as has been the case up until now, but that the Syrian anti-defense missile systems are going to be deployed every time Israeli planes are considered to be threatening against Syrian targets, against Iranian targets in Syria, although, of course, they don't talk about the Iranian targets, they just talk about targets in Syria. And so, in summary to your question, Howard, I think the game is changing. I think that Aviv Kochavi has potentially changed the way in which business is being done. Now, of course, there's no secret that the IDF attacked, because in the past, whenever these attacks took place, it was always, you know, playing this game of the not disclosing exactly. Ambiguity was the name of the game. These days, there's nothing ambiguous about it. The IDF has absolutely acknowledge that they've been involved. So there's certainly a change to the way in which business is being done at the moment.
It's quite incredible, but it does seem to be that there's almost tacit approval from the rest of the world, because there's no outrage, no comment, nothing from anybody so far.
True. I think that's absolutely true, with the exception potentially of Russia, which has come out saying, you know, that this does endanger Russian aircraft in the area, and you know they've certainly come out trying where possible to explain why Russia is at risk, rather than trying to bring Syria or Iran into this picture to try to protect them. But clearly what the Russians are trying to do is protect Iran and Syria in the picture without saying it as much. But I think that the Russians understand that they are alone in the international community right now in terms of criticizing these actions.
Yeah, and I would imagine they can only push it that far. All right, I want to move on to another subject, and that is that Prime Minister Netanyahu was in Chad yesterday, and that was to reestablish diplomatic relations between the two countries. How important is Chad or this region for Israel?
Well, I think that Chad in and of itself is probably not as an individual country, massively important. But I think that Chad, as a potential gateway, as a potential indicator, as part of a larger plan, is quite important. And, of course, the fact that Chad happens to be a Muslim-majority country and happens to be an African nation, because, you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu has really embarked upon trying to win over African countries to Israel's side, having been the first Israeli prime minister, sitting prime minister, to visit Africa a few years ago when he made his first visit since the days of Yitzhak Shamir. So it's really been a very long time since an Israeli prime minister was last so active in trying to court the support and attention of Africa and the African countries. And of course, the idea is that hopefully these countries will bring their weight at the United Nations General Assembly, at other international bodies, in order to support Israel. And by establishing diplomatic relations with Chad, this is really part of the overall plan. So Chad actually broke off diplomatic with relations with Israel back in 1972, when Chad was a lot more under the influence of the Arab world in those days. Given that it is a Muslim country, obviously it has quite strong links to the Arab world. And back in 1972, the Arab world really brought its pressure to bear on Chad, and Chad broke off diplomatic relations with Israel. But since then, Chad has seemed to have moved closer to the United States in terms of where it fits on the map of international relations and international diplomacy. And so I think that this we're seeing now is part of that exercise of Chad being a lot closer to the United States rather than to the Arab world. Mm. But it was interesting that Prime Minister Netanyahu arrived yesterday in the capital to establish relations with Chad. He was in Jamina, and there was no announcement about this visit beforehand. He just kind of arrived there, and the next thing we see that he's being hosted by the president of Chad, Idriss Deby, who of course paid a visit to Israel not so long ago. So I think that this is just an attempt somehow to separate the Muslim non-Arab countries from the Arab bloc to try and win them over to Israel's support. And, you know, we should say that it has been made well worth Chad's while to establish diplomatic relations with Israel. This doesn't come for free, because Israel will, of course, be providing a lot of support to Chad on the agricultural front, on the technological front. Israel has promised that it will work with the government of Chad in order to really try to improve the economic situation. Chad is one of the countries which is on the lowest rung of economic activity on the list of countries around the world. And according to the World Bank, it's really had, there's been a lot of human rights abuses, and the elections have not been too properly run, even though President Idriss Deby has been re-elected 5 times. But it's one of the least developed states, even on the African continent. And so the idea is, of course, that Israel will help to try to establish it more economically, and also to help combat some jihadist groups such as Boko Haram that seem to be active and potentially risk present some sort of a threat to Idriss Deby's government. So an interesting development, I think, in Africa and with Chad in particular. And also interesting that the Prime Minister flew over southern Sudan for the first time.
Yes, I was going to ask you about
with
that.
Permission.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
It's just part of the same story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So as Israel becomes more accepted in that region, and it's been quite an incredible journey that Netanyahu has taken in this regard, because he has literally gone from country to country, one by one, and established what seems to be very decent relations with them.
I think so. And I mean, once again, you know, this is a two-way street.
Sure.
Okay. One shouldn't believe that the African nations are suddenly feeling some sort of an outpouring of love for Israel and, you know, want to cooperate with Israel. I mean, this is all about a two-way street where Israel is very much involved in giving these governments many things that will help them somehow to reinforce their grip on power, because, you know, where economically things are very poor, potentially the leaders of these countries find themselves in precarious situations in terms of hanging on to power. So I think the idea is to try to support their leaders by giving them a few more tools in order to make people feel good about the leadership. And certainly this trip that Prime Minister Netanyahu took, flying back from Chad yesterday over South Sudan, which apparently trimmed something like an hour off his travel time, means that, you know, there is some sort of relationship that's budding with the government of South Sudan as well.
And that's where we leave it. Fascinating report indeed. It is 8:00. That's Anthony Reich with the Israel Report.